Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this. I've been knocking out bumps for 40 years. That's right. Knocking out all bumps for four decades. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Gloves champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So I bring a unique combination to this. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan. You are. So I open up the toll-free at the top of each hour, 2 hours a day on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline US channel, USA channel. I can go on and on. Bottom line is we're all over the place. But open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLATUS, 1-800-878-7529. Of course, live worldwide, coming to you on the internet. We've been doing this since 1994. I remember when the internet came out, they said to me, you're going to be on the internet. I sort of knew what it was. I said, you're going to be on the internet. Talk America Network came to me and says, you're going to be the first sports show on the internet. I said, what? What are you talking about? Anyway, we did this back in 1994. Of course, I've been on the air since 84, but in 94, we converted the internet. Never look back. Bottom line is, I think we're in close to better than 200 countries as I speak. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And of course, we are just, wow, 4 or 5 days away. Friday night, boxing is going to be rolling in Times Square. Raleigh Romero, of course, trying to beat up on Ryan Garcia. That's probably not going to happen in that main event. Devin Haney and Jose Ramirez in the co-feature. God, I wish that Devin Haney would just go away and take his father with him. Of course, that's Friday night. Saturday night, of course, we go to Saudi Arabia, and Canelo Alvarez getting some skull and William skull. Of course, that's going to go 12 rounds or less down there in Saudi Arabia, main event. Of course, on that same card, Martin Bacoli. I hope he loses. And the Sunday show, of course, will come to you from the T-Mobile Arena on ESPN. I'm talking about the Noah Noy taking on a young once-beaten fighter by the name of Cardenas. Bottom line is, he ain't got a chance. Maybe slim and none, and Slim's out of the country. Bottom line is, best fighter, pound for pound in the world, will be on display next week on ESPN from Las Vegas. So we got lots of things to talk about on today's show. I'll bring in Sir Thomas Dillamuth. We'll hear from Conor Benn, who I thought won last night's fight with Chris Eubank Jr. We'll talk about that and more, of course. The Great Battle of Britain, it was that and more. Ring Talk Live Worldwide continues after the break.
You know what's better than a limited time deal? An unlimited time deal. That's why the Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag with a Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, 4-piece nugs, Junior Hot and Crispy Fries, and small soft drink is available all the time. Because the best time for fresh, never frozen beef and Applewood smoked bacon is all the time. Duh. I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. For the best deal of all time, gotta be Wendy's.
Unlimited time does not mean forever. U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, and California via third-party delivery. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, Make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That voice was the late Scott Cuddy. May he rest in peace. He's been dead now about 2 years. Of course, he suffered a diabetic attack here in the studios. I came in and found him one night, and of course, the rest is history. May he rest in peace. But he was a good guy. Let me tell you, Scott Cuddy, either you liked him or you didn't like him, and either he liked you or he didn't like you. I mean, likes. There was no in betweens with Scott Cuddy. I remember when he called Ronda Rousey a bitch. I mean, he called her a bitch right to her face on the air. I couldn't believe it. Did you really call Ronda Rousey a bitch? You know, he said, here's what's up. Ronda Rousey was on the line from Las Vegas, and we're taping an interview with her, and it's during the commercial break, and Cuddy says something like, "Where is that bitch?" or something like that, blah, 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 blah. And then Ronda Rousey says something like, "Are you talking to me?" He says, "Hey, if the shoe fits," or something like that. I mean, he was just a terrible person sometimes when he came to guests. My good friend, I loved him and this and that, but there was a split personality, Scott Cuddy. Now that I've gotten off on that Scott Cuddy rant, let's talk about last night's fight. Of course, in the end, the grudge match of Great Britain, Conor Benn and Chris Eubank Jr., was all that and more as the sons of the 1990 legends Chris Eubank and Nigel Benn went 12 eventful rounds, of course, on pay-per-view here in the United States, live from the UK. Benn came in unbeaten in 24 fights with 14 whacks, while Eubank stepped through the ropes at 34-3 with 22 KOs. Rolling off four of the first five rounds, in my opinion, Benn appeared to be the more talented of the two, looking like a welterweight versus a super middleweight, which is exactly what it was, a size mismatch. Benn is a 147-pounder who met 168-pound Eubank at 160 pounds. Don't be confused, they fought at middleweight. Bottom line is, visually, it was a size mismatch, but they didn't realize how big a set of stones that Connor had. I mean, down the stretch, it was yin and yang, back and forth. There was only one question: could the smaller Benn last 12 rounds? The early lead Benn had, that was the key. Like I told Marvin Hagler when discussing his fight with Ray Leonard, when you lose the first four rounds of a 12-round fight, all the front runner has to do is win three rounds from round 5 to 12 to prevail by scores of 115, 113, or 7-5 in rounds. Not afraid to throw with the bigger guy, I thought Benn outclassed Eubank for an easy 115, 113 win on the RT scorecard. That's 7-5 in rounds favoring Benn. The judges didn't concur as all three surprisingly scored the fight 116, 112, or 8-4 in rounds for Eubank. I didn't think it went that way. Benn suffers his first setbacks now 23-1. For the record, the fans scoring the fight at BoxRec.com had it 115, 113 for Eubank. Seeing Benn was giving up size and weight, his people should have made it a 10-round fight. What am I saying? With that much size and mass leaning on him, Ben's team gaffed on the distance as there was no title at stake and it was a catchweight affair, so there was no reason why the fight couldn't be a 10-round fight. I think the Saudi Arabian guy, what's his name? Smoked Turkey Jerky, you know, the guy that wears a dress. All right, I'm saying, trying to take over boxing. Okay, it's not a dress, but I think the Sheik has some feminine characteristics. Say what? Yep, when I saw him on TV yesterday, the Gator alarm went off. For those of you who don't know what Gator is, it's something a native San Francisco must learn growing up. That's right. How to spot a gay guy almost immediately. That being said, I think the Sheik might be a little light in the loafers. On the undercard, Liam Smith, who had pasted Chris Eubank in early 2003, and then he was KO'd in a rematch 7 months later. Fast forward to today, and it's time to stick a fork in the 36-year-old Brit as the unbeaten Aaron McKenna. A Los Angeles resident by way of Belfast, Ireland, McKenna won a 12-round duke over Smith with scores of 119-109, 118-108, and 117-109. Cut early and dropped in the 12th, Smith, now 33-5-1 with 20 stops, is both old and slow. Again, it's time to stick a fork in him. The knock on McKenna, who was called the silencer, is that he can't silence anybody with his punching power, as 10 KOs and 20 wins clearly illustrates. On the undercard, in an all-K and an all-UK United Kingdom light heavyweight clash for the third time, Anthony Yardy wins a 12-round unanimous nod over Lyndon Arthur, scores a 116-112 twice and 115-113. Yardy improves to 27-3, 24 KOs, and Arthur dips to 24-3 with 16 shorts. Yardy takes a 2-1 edge and 3 scrapes with Lyndon Arthur. The rest of the card sucks so bad, I can't bring myself to report on it, let alone maybe even vomit. That's how bad it was. So can we take it to Tommy D? Is Tommy D ready to roll? Let's go to the Bronx and bring Sir Thomas Dillamuth, the Sunday Shot Caller. How are you today, sir?
What's going on, Pedro? How's everything?
Prepped and ready to go, my brother.
That's what's up. That's a good thing.
All right, talk to me. I was highly entertained by the main event last night, although in my mind, the little guy won.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, some people are already talking about it could be fight of the year right now. We're only in, the end of April, but it was a great fight.
Time out. You can't put Chris Eubank Jr. in any fight of the year. He's a bum. He couldn't even impose his will in a satisfactory manner. If I had that kind of size on somebody, man, I think I could have pushed him into the ropes, kept him there, and he would have never got off. You know what I'm saying? But he couldn't do it. He was inferior. Even with that size advantage, he was inferior in my mind.
Yeah, but the argument is, for the people that are backing Eubanks or the boxing fans, for what I've been reading and hearing, is that Eubanks is really a 168-pounder, so he had to come down in weight. And they said that he was drained.
And he got a broken jaw too. He went to the hospital afterwards.
He went to the hospital with a broken jaw. Yes, indeed. So that's the excuse that I'm hearing, you know, for Eubanks, and that supposedly there's a rematch already set in stone that's supposed to happen, I guess, in September.
See, I don't want to see the rematch, because you know what's going to happen to him. What's going to happen to him is the same thing you're going to do to Bruno Cerasi when he tangles with Jaime McGee again. In other words, the boxing establishment is not going to let him pull it off two times in a row. You feel me?
Yeah, I don't think so. But it all depends on what weight they do it, because now I'm hearing a bunch of things, so we don't know what's true, what's not true. But they say they might make the fight at 168, and there's no way Conor Benn can go up to that weight. So, I mean, I think they did the fight because they wanted to continue the family rivalry.
Because it was the biggest. It was one of the biggest gates in a long time. That fight drew.
It drew, and they both made money. I don't know what Eubanks made, but I think Conor made about $7 million for that fight.
More power to him, my brother. More power to him. Yeah. Here's what's up. You know, I gotta wrap you a little bit, because last night I was talking with Tommy D back and forth. We were texting during the fight and after the fight, and I said to him, the ideal distance for this fight should have been 10 rounds because you had a little guy moving up in weight, a couple of weight classes, and you had one guy coming down and meeting at 160 pounds. It was a catchweight fight, so there was no real need to make it go 12 rounds. Anyway, Tommy D said, 12 rounds? Nah, 12 rounds is fine. Tommy D, have you ever carried up a hill?
But with a fight, no, I have not.
All right, well, that's what I'm trying to say, is when you're fighting a bigger guy, it's like carrying a 50-pound sack of cement on your shoulders walking up a hill.
I understand.
And you want him to go an extra 2 rounds.
They were selling this fight as a big fight, continued a rivalry, and so forth. These guys hate each other. You know, this fight of this magnitude deserved 12 rounds. They weren't going to do a fight like this for 10 rounds.
I think you've lost the... the reality, the 10-round fights used to be where it was at. I mean, when guys wanted to settle a score, it was 10 rounds, and of course, it went to 15 for a while. There were actually went unlimited rounds early on in boxing, but it was 15 rounds for a long time, of course, up until the 1980s when it was reduced to 12 rounds by the WBC, et cetera. But the bottom line is sometimes when you're giving up that kind of weight, when you're giving that guy all kinds of advantages, you got to get something back. You hear what I'm trying to say? And the something back I would have got if I was Team Ben was I would have got the 10-round distance.
No, I understand
because
that.
At the end of 10 rounds, here's what's up, Tommy D. At the end of 10 rounds, if I knew I only had to go 10 rounds, I would have been fired up in the later stages of that fight. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 down the road. Because you didn't have to save her for 11 and 12. He was saving it.
For 11 and 12, yeah. But I think if you still would have got the same type of fight.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But I think Ben would have won. Even here, I think Ben would have won.
Yeah, because he definitely lost the last two rounds. So, yeah. Ben. Yeah. You know, because the last two rounds, Eubanks definitely won.
I know, but Eubank just didn't impress me, though. I mean, come on, the guy's like 33 and whatever, but he was clumsy, he wasn't fast, and he got caught with a couple of shots. In fact, I think of the two guys, he was hurt the most. I think at one point in time, he wobbled.
He was wobbled a few times.
Yeah. But at one time,
and to his credit, he got Ben wobbled a couple times too.
Yeah, but here's what's up. But when you're beating on a smaller guy, it's easier. Size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. When you're beating on a smaller guy, the smaller guy has no advantages whatsoever, none.
No.
He just doesn't. I mean, going back to carrying that sack of cement going up the hill. I'm just trying to tell you, fighting bigger guys is just. It's insurmountable sometimes when you're sitting there and you're going to say to yourself, good Lord, I got to go out there and do it one more round, you know. And, of course, this guy had a tremendous size disadvantage. But at the end of the day, both guys acquitted themselves well. We'll hear from Conor Benn after the break. But the bottom line is both guys acquitted themselves well. And their fathers were pretty cool.
The fathers were pretty cool. And it was good to see both of them in there, you know, and they all kind of, like, embraced afterwards. You see, there was, like, a mutual respect. But at the end of the day, this is what they wanted. This is what Conor Benn wanted. You know, he wanted this fight. They wanted revenge for the egg slap. So he probably brought that in with him in the early rounds and, you know, didn't, contain himself or, like, save himself. Like, he went guns blazing those first three rounds, which kind of tired him really early. So, you know, really no game plan for Conor Benn except to go out there and try to take his head off.
Okay. Do you remember Colonel Klink in Hogan's Heroes? You ever watch Hogan's Heroes?
No, I
okay.
Haven't.
It was an old TV show from the 70s. Of course, Bob Crane, I think, was in the main event. But Colonel Klink used to wear a monocle. You know what a monocle is?
No.
A monocle is like glasses, but it's only for one eye. You put it up and you like pinch it in your eye and you sort of hold it with your eye. I kid you not. So when I met Chris Eubank Jr. and Chris Eubank Sr. in London, the dude was wearing a monocle. And I said to him, that's a little weird. And he goes, I am a little weird. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He's young. He's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet, a prophet, and many people believe he'll be the next heavyweight champion of the world. I saw Sonny Liston a few days ago, Cash.
Ain't he ugly?
He's
too ugly to be the world champ. The world champ should be pretty like me.
Muhammad Ali, then Cassius Clay, talking with Jim Jacobs. Of course, Jim Jacobs and Bill Caton came together. They formed a company called Big Fights. Of course, had all the fight films. And Jim Jacobs and Bill Caton, of course, also co-managed Mike Tyson back in the day. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. A lot of small shows here and there in the United States. Of course, on another note, the Prince of Feces, a.k.a. Dana White of the UFC, had a card of virtual no-names at the T-Mobile Arena in Kansas City, which holds 19,000 people. And guess what? Dana drew 15,984 people for a gate of $2.2 million. I give him props, but yet I piss on him in the same sentence. You are tuned to Ring Talk. You feel me on Dana White? Dana White's not my guy. Can you tell?
I can tell. I mean, you crowned him. You crowned him as king, but, you know, king of feces, that was well played.
anybody that exploits human beings, like, let me tell you, I knew pimps that treated their hoes better.
Jeez, that's saying something.
No, it just is. I mean, come on. Let me tell you. I mean, if Dana tells you got to fight for $500, you got to fight for $500, or you're done. If you do anything anti-Dana, you're done, right? If you're a hooker in San Francisco and you work for some guy, he says, well, guess what? I'm going to have you go out and charge $100 for every greeting you make, and you're only going to make $10. Probably the chick's not going to stay. She's going to be on the first bus to Cleveland.
No, I agree.
But in the UFC, when the UFC, these guys have nowhere to go.
Yeah. And guess what? He's about to get into boxing. Oh, well, he's in boxing now, and he's going to have that TKO league running pretty soon.
That TKO league along with the guy with the dress. I'm talking about what's his name? Sheik Turk, Sheik Beef Turkey. So what's his name?
No, I think it's that, what is it, Khan or something? The guy from that has control of WWE, the wrestling. Is it Peter Kahn? No, not Peter Kahn.
Peter Kahn's one of the main players there. Peter Kahn, wasn't Peter Kahn wanted by the police or something like that? Aren't those guys wanted? There's a whole lot of those guys involved that are wanted by the cops. They were Tyson Fury, weren't they?
Yeah, that was Kinahan. Kinahan was a mafia guy. Peter Kahn, I might got the wrong Kahn, but it's the WWE owner. It's something Kahn. Forgive me for not knowing the name.
And you're a WWE guy. Speaking of WWE, how do you guys, I mean, I used to watch wrestling when it was like when kayfabe, when they wanted you to believe that it was real, and the performance came out, and they tried to convince you that it was real. And while you were watching it, you sort of felt it was real. But when you watch today's wrestling, you can't feel it's real. Do you feel me? Am I just an old man complaining?
No, you're absolutely right. This is how they present it now, and they present it to you as entertainment, and kayfabe is definitely gone. It doesn't exist anymore. You got all these guys now on social media taking pictures and videos of them getting together, and they're supposed to be fighting each other in the ring and hating each other.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Sheik were involved in and the Iron Sheik were involved in a bitter feud, right? So they were smoking weed. They got pulled over smoking weed, I think in Oklahoma or something like that. But they found like 47 joints in the ashtray. check it out. These guys are traveling 10,000 miles a week in their car.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, one event Tuesday night, they're in this town, then they drive 500 miles to the next town, then they drive 400 or 500 miles. That's the way it was done in the old days.
Yeah. By the way, it's Nick Khan. That's the guy I was referring to.
A con's a con, ain't it?
A con is a con, yeah. I like that. A con is a con. Well played. That's beautiful.
Speaking of Khan, you know what? Let's get this out of the way. I thought he was real good last night. In fact, I think that Conor Benn deserved to have his hand raised. Here it is, Conor Benn, post-fight.
Thank you, first of all, Conor, for an incredible effort. It was an entertaining night of boxing. The way that you lost the fight isn't the way that I heard anybody predict it. And the fact that you were able to take his punches, as you said, you hurt him a few times. He's on his way to the hospital, apparently with a broken jaw. So all of the things that people were saying you couldn't do, you did. What do you think was the margin that actually was difficult for you, or maybe swayed it the other way?
I don't think people put enough credit on the boxing ability, for me. You know, doing 10 rounds, doing 12 rounds, I'm well conditioned, and I can box. I haven't always got to knock out my opponents. Well, evidently I have, but I mean, I can do 12 rounds, in a weight class. There's two weight classes above my weight. The difference in it today, I believe, was just inactivity. There's a lot of emotions going on for me. It's a lot to take in after the past 2.5 years, and I wondered how much it had taken away from me. And I'm glad to see that it's not taken anything away from me at all. Proven I can take punches at 160. You don't always want to test that. And my goal is to not test that, but also I can dish it out at 160 and comfortably hurt my opponent, Eubank, multiple rounds, and have him on shaky legs. I just couldn't get a finish, which I put down to ring rust. I couldn't pull the trigger and get him out of there.
As a fighter, you're obviously going to want revenge, as you said. You feel you can win the next fight. However, at this weight, with the kind of damage that you'll have to take well above your weight class, would it be wiser, would you consider just fighting at your weight and chasing a championship? As Eddie said, you are a star tonight. I haven't heard anybody criticize you. Some people think it was even a draw. So could this be enough and you just go back to your class and pursue for a championship?
Do you know what's hard? Is it was so close. Well, so people are telling me. I felt like it was close. That's what's hard. Is it was so close and I just didn't get the nod. That's what's painful. Not as painful as Chris missing weight by 0.05. But it was painful. And it was just, if it was as close as people were saying it is, that's what's painful. You know, because I weren't outclassed. You know, I wasn't hurt in there. I just couldn't get the finish. I just couldn't pull the trigger and keep it moving. I'm known for having my opponent hurt and getting finished. So it's one of them things where it's like, do I avenge the loss? Do I drop back down to 147 and win the WBC world title? If Barrios is watching, I'd love that. But I feel like this one's... It's frustrating because I feel like I just want to settle this.
And last one from me. Before the fight and after the fight, it seems Senior made a point to come over to you and to Nigel and speak to you. What did he say? That's a question for you and Nigel.
I looked at Chris Senior and I said to him, grabbed him by the neck and I said, mate, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy you turned up. You know, because outside of everything else, outside of all the noise and the promotion and the fight, your relationship with your dad never goes. That's always there. That's long-standing. That's without boxing. You know, what's boxing? You know, what is it? You know, because I'd pick the relationship with my dad over boxing any day of the week. You know, so to see them two, if this has brought them together, God, that's worth its weight in gold.
Right.
That's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, well, Chris was just like, you know, sitting down talking to me, saying like, my boy's on top, you know. Do you know? Oh, here we go. But it, like, to me, really, it was just good having him there, seeing him there, like it was a family affair. You know, we lost, but yeah, I ain't really, you know, I didn't really speak to him much, but it was just like, you know, praising my son. I accepted that. And that was about it, really. There weren't no deep conversations.
Nigel Benn on his conversations with Chris Eubanks Sr. Chris Eubanks Sr., a guy that introduced himself to me wearing a monocle. And I know people don't think, people can't figure out what I'm talking about. And it's like, imagine this. It's not a set of glasses. It's just one piece of glass, and he stuck it in one eye. He reminded me of Colonel Klink from Hogan's Heroes, but Tommy D never watched Hogan's Heroes, so I don't know how to tell him that. Bottom line is, he wore a monocle. Eubank and Conor Benn probably going to do it again, probably at 160, 168 pounds, according to Tommy D. I think that's way too much. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Open phone lines around the planet if you dare. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. On the other side of the break, Tommy D is going to do the name game with me. That's right. Straight up, we're talking name games and boxing right after the break here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Did I miss anything there? According to the impeccable one, I didn't miss nothing. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and here is the great Bailey Peck.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, you know, it's my theory that if that Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Soul Side of Town, Mighty Tower of Power, one of their last releases. I think they released that about 3 or 4 years ago. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Now it's time to put both of us to the test. Let's play the name game with Tommy D. Tommy D, you go first.
All right, I'll go first. Jose Luis Ramirez.
Jose Luis Ramirez. Once I was training in San Jose, Ramirez was the star of the gym, okay? Having watched him the day before, Jose was so slow, I felt I could get to him. He had the footwork of like Jethro Bodine of the Beverly Hillbillies. Anyway, bottom line is, having set the fastest KO record in the Rich and Fisicary San Jose Civic Auditorium with a 14-second knockout, everybody knew who I was in the gym, so I couldn't sneak into gyms. I like sparring with guys better than me under conditions that benefit me. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, if I could be the first guy to spar with these guys because of my speed and my youth at that point in time, I would do it. And besides that, you know, you don't want to go 3 or 4 rounds into these guys or 5 or 6 rounds into these guys because they'll kill you. I mean, Bazooka Lamone, when I sparred with him, first couple of rounds, I gangster slapped him, okay? I knew from that point forward it was going to be downhill because he was just getting warmed up. And when he got warmed up, I could hear the hooks whistling past my head. Anyway, 2 times I thought I was going to spar with the slower than the turtle Jose Ramirez. But when I wasn't first, my trainer, Kiss Gomez, pulled me out. Jose got the gift of 1988 when two WBC judges, in my mind, fixed the Pernell-Whitaker fight for Ramirez. I think it took place in Paris. And you thought the Pernell-Whitaker draw against Julio Cesar Chavez was a heist? This one was worse. Boxing's Hall of Fame judge and referee Harry Gibbs of the UK had it 117-113 for Pernell. But Newton Campos saw it 118-113, and Louis Michel scored things 116-115 for Ramirez, who was never in the fight. As a side note, the best I ever saw the Macho Man, Hector Camacho, was when he all but shut out the Mexican southpaw in the summer of 1985. Ramirez retired after losing his final two, a shutout to Pernell Whitaker, and Jose's final fight was Juan Koji. Jose Ramirez finished at 102-9, 89 KOs. All I can say is for 3 rounds, maybe I could have taken him. But anything after that, the Mexican Mauler would have gotten me. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go get Steve Smoker.
Steve Smoker. Whoa, let me get those notes on Steve Smoker. Steve Smoker was the bravest referee of the past 40 years. When I say brave and referee in one sentence, it's not good. The reason why Steve got all the big fights is that promoters knew he wouldn't stop the fight unless the non-house guy was nearly dead. One of the most flagrant acts of referee malpractice involved Smoker working a fight between American challenger Roy Jones Jr. and Russian Denis Lebedev in Moscow. That was on May 21st, 2011. Roy was getting beat, and in the 10th round, he knocked the crude, and I mean crude, Russian off balance, and had he not been saved by the ropes, Lebedev would have walked into the 5th row. Smoker misses a knockdown as only the ropes held Denis up and in the ring. About a minute later in the 10th round, Roy gets caught and is frozen. I mean frozen, paralyzed, call it what you want, but Roy was concussed and standing stiff. Lebedev realizes Roy is hurt and looks at Smoker, who does nothing. So Lebedev cocks his right hook and then lands a clean, unchallenged right hook to the jaw of Roy Jones with such devastation that I felt the punch watching it on TV. I thought Roy was dead, and I wasn't alone. Unconscious, Roy was lying in what looked like a comatose state flat on his back in that Moscow ring. If Roy Jones ever came close to meeting the Grim Reaper, it was this episode, and Steve Smoker was the win. But wait, Tommy D, I'm not done. Steve Smoker, did you know he was a Superior Court judge that was caught playing games in New Jersey? Did you know that, Tommy D?
No, I did not.
Well, a judicial panel investigating Steve Smoker found that Steve Smoker was setting higher bails and fines for people that were not white. In other words, white people were getting $10 bails, while brown people and black people were getting $25 fines. I kid you not. And a committee established this as fact. So, bottom line is, if he wasn't savory enough to be a criminal judge, and the New Jersey judicial system ran him out of being a judge in the criminal courts, why should Smoker have been trusted refereeing or judging a boxing match involving blacks or Hispanics?
Wow.
I'm asking you that question.
I don't know.
See, Smoker should have been banned for life. I'll repeat that for the deaf lady in Salt Lake City. If the state removes a criminal judge for racist rulings, how in the hell could that same state of New Jersey and others still license Steve Smoker as a boxing referee and a judge? I wrote about this in the boxing trade papers and exposed a side of Steve to the boxing world that he never envisioned. Of course, Smoker also holds the distinction, according to Wikipedia, of officiating in more states and countries than any other official. Doesn't that alone speak volumes as to what I said about how I started this spiel off with? Brave referees can get you killed. Speaking of Steve Smoker, he died December 19, 2022, at the age of 79. Keep going.
And I got an old guy for you, Max Baer.
Max Baer. Max Baer is a classic example of Hollywood typecasting. Known around the world as Jethro Bodine in the Smash TV series The Beverly Hillbillies, Max Baer did not find work as an actor for 3 years after he left the Hillbillies. Baer finally had to put himself to work as an actor in the movie Macon County in 1974, which he wrote and produced. Although he didn't let him escape the Jethro Bodine character, Max Baer Jr. did earn more than $35 million in box office and later rental receipts. This after an initial investment of just over $100,000. Not bad for a guy with a sixth grade education. Born in 1937, Jethro Bodine, a.k.a. Max Baer, is still alive and well at the age of 97. Anything else?
No, that's it. That was pretty good.
Okay, you ready to play the game the other way?
I think I'm ready.
Okay, talk to me about Deontay Wilder, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist.
Deontay Wilder from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 43-4-1. Out of those 43 wins, 42 by knockout. He has the highest winning percentage by knockout in the history of boxing at 97.67%. Nicknamed the Bronze Bomber, why? Because at 20 years old, he started boxing. Started boxing because he had a baby girl born with spina bifida back in 2005. Went into boxing, made the Olympic team in 2005 at 22 years old, and then made it to the Olympics and ended up winning a bronze medal, you know, from just 2 years of just boxing. You know, out of the 42 KOs, 20 by KOs in the first round, and he has I don't know if it's a record, but 10 title defenses as heavyweight champion. I think Deontay Wilder, I think he's, you know, somewhat of an American dream story. You know, a guy that just, you know, was looking for a job, trying to make it work for his kid. You know, at a young age of 20 years old, he was driving a trunk, working in a restaurant, and just, you know, went to boxing. And boxing, I guess, saved his life and made him millions and millions of dollars. So now, definitely American dream story, in my opinion.
Okay, don't take this the wrong way, but you can see why I stopped these 6'4" black guys on the street. They're about 22, 23 years old, and I talked to them. This is why, I kid you not, man. I saw this guy in the Whole Foods the other day, a tall white dude. He was about 19, 20 years old. I said, hey, man, you ever think about fighting? Oh, no. Come on, man. Think about it. Anyway, he was like 6'7". You know what I'm trying to say? He had arms longer than you can imagine. These guys are... Anyway, I was trying to find the next Deontay Wilder. I got another name for you. Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Tim Cheatham, the boxing judge.
Tim Cheatham. And listen to that name. Cheat him. Tim Cheatham, a boxing judge. Not much you can find on him with Google search. But as far as what I know, he's been judging since 2009, so it's about 16 years as a judge. He's judged over 653 bouts, Born in Nevada, doesn't say. I'm assuming Las Vegas, as most of the fights he's judged were in Las Vegas. He's also done some handful of fights in Arizona, Minnesota, and in Texas. He's done a couple big fights, and a couple of those big fights actually ended in stoppages. He did the Bud versus Spence fight, which was a big fight, and notable fights. He did the Benavidez versus Morrell fight in a fight that we all can agree that Benavidez won, but he gave Benavidez 11 of the 12 rounds. Yee. I thought that was pretty insane.
That's insane.
11 of 12 rounds. And the first 10 rounds, all for Benavidez. So, and then another notable fight that I thought he did terrible in was when Richardson Hitchens fought Lemos. He gave the fight to Hitchens. And scored it 9-3 in a fight that could have been a draw, and some people thought Lemos won. And in another fight, the fight where kind of messed up Tim Zhu against Fundora, you know, he was the only one to give Tim Zhu the fight 8-4, which I thought was pretty insane. I thought Fundora pretty much won because of the nasty cut that Zhu suffered. But all in all,
time out. Zhu didn't win a round after the second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He didn't pretty much win after that, after the blood, you know,
the cut.
Poured out after the cut. So, yeah, and he gave him 8 rounds in that fight. So, and all in all, he's been actually fair. When I look back in his career, I was looking at some notable fights. I thought he scored it pretty well, except maybe the Brandon Figueroa fight versus Fulton. Fulton, the first fight, Fulton won that fight. We thought, a lot of people thought it was close. A lot of people thought it was a draw. He gave 8 rounds to Fulton, so that was kind of far reached as well. So overall, Tim Cheatham, he's a somewhat of a decent ref when you look back in time and look at his, you know, the records. But he tends to give the right guy the decision.
The home,
you know,
guy.
The scores a little lopsided, but technically, you know, the right guy has won. Okay. You know, so if you look back, just like the scores are just kind of insane.
Okay, last but not least, Floyd Money Mayweather.
Floyd Money Mayweather, or maybe Pretty Boy Mayweather. A lot of people like Pretty Boy. Pretty Boy Mayweather, when he was promoted by Top Rank, was a great fighter, and he went in. He was more offense than defense, and he stopped guys. He stopped guys like Diego Corrales. He fought Angel Manfredi, Gennaro Hernandez. You know, he had some big fights. You know, and then he annihilated Gotti in Atlantic City. You know, but then after the fight with De La Hoya, the big fight, you know, he won a decision over De La Hoya. He became Money Mayweather, and then Money Mayweather became what he was. He was a he had one of the biggest pay-per-view earnings than any other fighter that you can name. You know, so that's why he took the name Money Mayweather. You know what it told me about Money Mayweather and all the money he's made with pay-per-views?
He's broke.
No, it told me that there was no such thing as a fire stick probably back then.
Time out. The impeccable one's looking at me in the other room. We don't. What's a fire stick?
What's a fire stick? We'll get into that another day. But okay. it basically helps you watch these pay per views without actually you know, paying as part as looking at the per view. So, but yeah, it did 4 million buys with the De La Hoya fight. No. The De La Hoya fight, he did 2.4 million, and he did 4 million with Pacquiao. So, you know, that's what Money Mayweather is. Ended his career 50-0, undefeated, 27 knockouts, and claims to be the best ever. TBE.
Bottom line is he's made a lot of money. You can't knock him for that. And of course, he's got that strip club in Vegas. I keep taking pictures every time I go to Vegas. I take the Money Club, the Money Team. It's a strip club. It's like his name's up on it. The Money Team, TMT Mayweather.
Is that what keeps him afloat?
I don't know, but I'm not going to go there. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy D, how's your daughter Tamara doing in college?
She's doing pretty well. She's getting ready for finals, and she'll be home soon. She's just looking for an internship or like a job for the summer right now. So, but she'll be home with us for the summer. So
internship? No, get her a job that pays money.
Yeah, definitely.
That internship,
so I think that's what she's looking for.
I tried to do an internship at a newspaper, right? They treated me like a hoe. They did. They had me getting caught. The first day, like, I only lasted like a day and a half. It was during the summer, and they had me getting coffee for them. So I ain't your coffee boy, man. What do you think? You got me confused with some other brother.
A day and a half? Did you get the coffee at least once?
I went through the the first time, but I didn't realize that was going to be my whole job. Yes, boss, let me get the coffee for you. Tommy D, have a great week.
You too, Pedro. Have a good one.
Sir Thomas Dulamuth, the Sunday Shot Caller. Of course, he's got his own show that is Sunday night. When are you, Friday nights on YouTube still?
I'm trying to do Friday nights on YouTube, but this Friday is going to be tough. We got the big fight in Times Square, so I may not be live.
Straight up, you are tuned to Ring
Talk. I may go Thursday.
All right, Tommy D, straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The real Tommy D.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Frankie Carbo was a one-time hitman for the mafia, and in the 1950s, he was the underground ruler of boxing. When he was 11 years old, he stole an apple and was sent to a youth reformatory. Instead of rehabilitation, he found his calling as a lifetime criminal. He claimed his first kill at 18 when a man said Carbo didn't have the guts to use a pistol he was carrying. He then became a professional killer for Murder Incorporated, an organization that did contract killings for the mafia. Carbo was said to have been responsible for countless murders. His start in boxing came in 1936 when mobster Gabe Genovese made him manager for boxing champion Babe Risco. A decade later, it was believed that there wasn't a boxer or boxing manager that Carbo didn't control.
I met Frankie Carbo's partner, Blinky Palermo. I kid you not. Frank Yelb's kid introduced me to actually didn't introduce me to him, said this is who he is. They didn't want me touching him, they didn't want me talking to him. The guy was a stone cold gangster. Of course, I think he got Ray Robinson to throw a couple of fights. I think he got everybody to throw fights. Of course, some people say to me, oh, how can you accuse the great Sugar Ray Robinson of being involved in the fixed fight? He lost some fights against guys like me and Bailey that he should have lost fights to. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, come on, man. A couple of fights there he probably shouldn't have lost to. And you know, one of those fights especially I thought was a little shaky was when he lost to Cameron Basilio, the world welterweight champion, stepping up to 160 pounds and fighting, of course, Ray Robinson at 160 pounds. Of course, they didn't do a rematch. Basilio did do a rematch, and of course, it wasn't the thing that he wanted to do. But at the end of the day, Cameron Basilio and Sugar Ray Robinson, of course, that was an epic moment in boxing history. This has been hour number one, as I stutter. This has been hour number one of two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned. After the news, I'm going to go into a deep dive on next week's fights, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th. Live boxing, of course, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th from New York City, from Saudi Arabia, and of course from Las Vegas. And of course, I'll get into things with Barry Rabbits will be here. That's right, the British Herald will be here. Straight up, Barry will be here, and we'll straighten things out. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned after the news.
Sports Shorts, I am Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. The first round of the NFL 2025 draft took place as the Tennessee Titans draft. Cam Ward as number one overall from Miami. Jaguars snag Travis Hunter as the second pick. The Giants take Abdul Carter. Will Campbell goes to the Patriots and Mason Graham to the Browns, rounding out the top five. NBA playoff action is heating up as the Knicks take Game 3, now leading that series 2-1 over the Pistons after they get an on-the-road W by 2 points, 118-116. Thunder dominating the Grizzlies, now up 3-0 in that series. Thunder had a win on the road, 114-108 over Memphis. And the Clippers at home take the W against the Nuggets, leading their series 2-1 after a 117-83 win. It isn't hockey without an overtime playoff game as the Maple Leafs snag their now third straight win over the Senators, 3-2 in overtime, now leading that series 3-0. Blues get a big dominating win over the Jets in Game 3. That final score is 7-2. And the Wild take the W against the Golden Knights, 5-2. Minnesota leads that series going into Game 4, 2-1. And the Panthers on the road against the Lightning take it 2-0. To stay up to date in all things sports and for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram and visit our website, sportsovernightamerica.com. That's your Sports Shorts, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League, presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today.
Celebrate responsibly.
Sports in 60. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. There's nothing like watching sports live, whether it be in person or on TV. Some of us still pine, though, over pure radio broadcasts and like the power of imagination, especially with baseball and its pace of play. Several sports franchises simulcast their TV and radio broadcasts, and the New York Islanders joined those ranks last Wednesday when they fired their longtime radio broadcast team of Chris King and Greg Picker. Most franchises are looking to save a buck, and in this day and age of every game of all major sports available for viewing, it may seem prudent to cut radio casts. But many broadcasters are invested in their teams, doing community service work and promoting the sport, in this case hockey, in the market they serve, creating new fans for those teams. Don't underestimate what players and broadcasters do off the ice in their spare time to help grow a sports market. The Lightning, Kings, and Stars are prime examples. Sports in 60, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios, this is it, hour number two of the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, of course, live on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. My name is Pedro Fernandez, I'm your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think Caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was nationally ranked, and I'm an award-winning boxer. So I bring a unique combination of this. In fact, maybe unequal. Straight up, I have open phone lines around the planet. You want to join me, you can. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7510. Of course, last night, coming to us from the UK, it was a good scrap, but I thought it was a mismatch as far as size was concerned. Talk about Conor Benn, of course, the smaller guy, 147 pounds, stepping up to fight 168-pound Chris Eubank Jr. Jr. came in at 160. It was like a catchweight fight. They did it for 12 rounds. I thought that was a big mistake because when you're moving up in weight, and I tried to explain this to somebody in hour number one, I was talking about Sir Thomas Dillon with the Sunday Shot Caller. It's sort of like when you move up in weight and you're fighting a guy and you're tired, it's like carrying a 50-pound sack of cement on your back walking uphill. That's the best way I could put it. I mean, you just... I mean, come on, man. I've been there. You're out of it. Anyway, bottom line is, last night was a exercise of futility as far as size was concerned. I'm talking about Conor Benn. I thought he won the fight, barely, 115, 113, or 7-5 rounds. Barry Rabbits, of course, the British boxing hero, will be here in a couple of minutes. He's going to disagree with me on that one. He thought Benn won. Of course, Benn went to the hospital. Take that back. Eubank went to the hospital. Eubank Jr. went to the hospital with a broken jaw. He wasn't there for the post-fight press conference. Of course, we heard from Conor Benn an hour and a morning of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, he sort of was leaning towards a draw. But, you know, at the end, he lost those last two rounds. He was getting hit hard in the 11th to 12th round. Of course, I didn't think they needed to go 12 rounds. But everybody I talked to, everybody that's not a fighter, is saying it should have been 12 rounds. Now, when you're fighting bigger guys like that, let them go 10. You can still get things done in 10 rounds. If you can't, straight up, you're in the wrong game. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with boxing right after the break. Woo!
Listen up, Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. So let's do it again and get vaccinated. We're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults under 50. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com to schedule. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Is your AC ready for summer? Don't wait for the heat to hit. Weak airflow? Warm air? Strange noises? These are warning signs your AC needs attention. Our skilled technicians offer AC repair services or replacements to keep your family cool all summer long. Don't sweat it. 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning has your back. Here to keep your home cool all summer. Visit 1hour.com to schedule today. Financing options available.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, Jack Fisk told me about 25 years ago to never fall in love with a fighter. Unfortunately, I sort of fell for this guy when he was an amateur. He's done his thing at 130, and now he's a champion at 135 pounds. What can I say, Diego, but you made my trip. He's wonderful.
Thank you. I'm glad I could make your day. I hope I made Sactown and all Northern California's time easy. I mean, tell you, I hope I represented us good.
Well, you know, they were in the crowd. A lot of people from Sactown here in the county. Now, the question's going to be, how come you haven't fought at home in, like, in 7 years?
You know, I just go where the networks take me. That's the job. And no matter where I fight, I still represent my home. You know, I'm still from Sac. The Kings don't play at home all the time.
Oh, that's true. Talk about the Sacramento Kings. Now, Aselino Freitas came out. He won the early rounds. He was frenetically moving here and there. I mean, wearing out energy. Did you know he was going to do that?
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad I could make your day. I hope I made Sactown and all Northern California's time easy. I mean, tell you, I hope I represented us good.
Well, you know, they were in the crowd. A lot of people from Sactown here in the county. Now, the question is going to be, how come you haven't fought at home in like in 7 years?
Diego Corrales, may he rest in peace. Of course, he passed May 7, 2007. That tape was recorded in August of 2004, I believe, in Foxwoods, Connecticut. He had just beat Aselino Freitas, of course. In his next fight, he took on Jose Luis Castillo. That was in May of the following year. And then in October, after that same year, he fought Castillo again. Now, the first fight, Diego Corrales lost. There was no doubt about it. I mean, he had the spit kicked out of him, spit with an H. I mean, Castillo doesn't get the credit that he deserves, but the bottom line is, Diego spit out the mouthpiece. There were some games involved with the referee. At the end of the day, Diego was beaten, man, but he had his hand raised. In the rematch, they did the rematch 5 months later. Get this, he was back in training 6 weeks later, 6 to 7 weeks later. I'm telling you, it was the most horrific beating I think I've seen in a long time, the beating that Corrales took from Castillo the first time. And yet, Gary Shaw, we'll talk with Gary Shaw maybe next week, but straight up, we'll hear an interview with Gary Shaw. Well, Gary Shaw put him back in the ring six weeks later in the training, of course, and 5 months later in the fight. So straight up, he was abused. And of course, I think he died in 2007, May 7, 2007. I think he died from a suicide. I think that CT has set in. When I talked to him, you heard Diego Corrales there talking all, he was like excited. He was all full of life. He was like full of himself and everything like that. 5 months later, 6 months later, 8 months later, he couldn't talk. He was mumbling like me. I mean, he made Pedro sound articulate. I kid you not. So what I'm trying to tell you is that one fight can do it all. That one fight ruined that May fight. Of course, the first fight with Castillo ruined Diego Corrales. He was never the same. And when he died May 7, 2007 in Las Vegas, he drove into an intersection on a motorcycle, made a left turn into an intersection, and I think he essentially committed suicide. That's what Gary Shaw, his promoter, thought as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, a little bit later, I'll bring in a clip from Bert the Hat Sugar. That's right, Bert Sugar, of course, the boxing writer, the greatest boxing writer of my time, and he was the most recognized boxing writer of my time, and a functional alcoholic. Let me tell you about him. One time we were doing this fight in Kansas City. By the way, Dana White went to Kansas City last night and drew 15,000 people with no names. But anyway, we went to Kansas City with Tommy Morrison and Razor Ruddock, and we're doing this fight, and we're doing the international TV together, me and Bert Sugar. Of course, Bert had Sugar, the former Ring Magazine editor, boxing historian, author, and all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, bottom line is... He says, hey, I got to go do the domestic feed because I'm doing the international TV with him. Me and him are doing the international stuff. And I forget, Al Bernstein, those guys were doing the domestic feed. So he went over to do the domestic feed for 5 or 10 minutes, he said, right? He came back an hour and 10 minutes later, drunk as a skunk. I mean, he was so drunk, they had to lead him to my chair. They had to lead him to the chair. He sat down next to me, and it was a great blow by. He was absolutely phenomenal. He just was. Bert Sugar was phenomenal. We'll hear from Bert a little bit later. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. As I said, the scores last night were 116-114. All three judges scored the fight for Chris Eubank Jr., of course, now moves to, 35-3, but Ben drops his first fight now, 23-1 with 14 whacks. As I said, a size mismatch, but, you know, you can't take those kind of lickings and expect to continue in boxing. What I mean by that is that beating you took at the end from a bigger guy like that, that's just not good to go. And although I think that to call Eubank a bum might be a compliment, of course Barry doesn't think that way, but the bottom line is to call Eubank Jr. a bum might be a compliment in my mind, but still, he was a bigger guy and size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. Now, can we turn Barry's mic on? Cool. Barry, ready to rock?
Yeah, I think so.
How's life treating you?
That's pretty good. Yeah, not too bad. Thank you.
Good all Britain. Good all Brit fight last night.
Yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it? It was. It got better as it went on as well, I think.
Not towards the end. I was cringing. The bottom line, see, my big question was, could he last 12? You know, because he's going up against a much bigger guy. Could he last 12? I mean, because if Eubank Jr. weighed in at 160 at the weigh-in, he probably weighed at 175, 180 come the ring time. And this guy, Conor Benn, looked like if he weighed 160, he was wearing silver. He had silver dollars in his pockets.
Yeah, he was wearing him down towards the end, wasn't he? I was surprised he went the distance. I thought, he's got a nasty uppercut, Eubank, and I thought that might have got him out of there.
He didn't come into play that often.
No, he caught him every now and again, didn't he? But it wasn't, yeah.
He got hurt more than Ben did, no?
No, I don't think so. No, he got shaken a couple of times, didn't he? But I think overall, Ben was kind of gasping for air at the end, wasn't he? He was struggling.
Well, but here's what's up. It's like Tommy D, you know what Tommy D said? I said, Tommy D, they should have fought 10 rounds. He goes, nah, 12 is fine. Listen, you guys are fighting. It cracks me up when you guys say this and that. And I tried to explain to somebody, imagine being as tired as you can, absolutely the most tired you can ever imagine in your life, and then somebody giving you a 100-pound sack of cement and carrying it uphill. That's what it's like fighting those extra rounds against bigger guys. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. And when you're fighting guys, you know, early on, everything's cool because, you know, you got the speed, this and that, right? And you're fresh and this and that. But as time wears on, that was the thing with Ray Leonard. That's why we couldn't have a 50-round fight with him and Hagler, because Hagler would have leaned on him in those last three rounds and probably got him.
But I think in this case, because Eubank looked terrible in the training, you see him sweating it out and trying to get down. You would have thought he would have faded at the end, and he actually got stronger. So I think this was kind of a weird fight all around, wasn't it? One guy coming up, one guy boiling down. And
okay, I would have to say this. The other night, though, I was thoroughly entertained. So was the crowd. I mean, there was no doubt about it. The crowd was. And what's up with these? Hey, why do they keep putting? Oh, here, I'm gonna get in some trouble here. Why do they keep putting English chicks on TV being the commentators? What's going on? Hey, come on, man.
It's the new thing, isn't it? It's the new thing.
Some is that the new good. Era?
Yeah, yeah. I like Senaisa Estrada. She's a great commentator. Oh,
she's the exception to the rule, though.
Yeah, great.
The rest of those broads are bimbos.
You think? Yeah, yeah.
Brimbos. You know what they are? They're blimbos and blimbos. You know what brimbo is?
No.
Brown bimbo. You know what a blimbo is?
I don't.
A blonde bimbo.
Oh, there you go. Well, that is just a bimbo, isn't it?
Yeah, bottom line, bimbo's a bimbo. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. The Sheik. Smoked turkey jerky, call him what you want. If he wears a dress, it's not a dress. But, you know, I have Gator. You know what Gator is?
I do, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I have Gator. The Impeccable is laughing in the room already. But I have Gator. When I saw the Sheik up there wearing the dress yesterday, the Gator alarm went off. Why did it go off?
Yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that.
Come on, why did it go off? Because the guy's really...
It's the style out there, isn't it?
But he's really in the men.
Who knows?
You know what I'm saying? I ain't seen him with no chicks, much like Devin Haney.
You're the party boy.
I see Devin Haney with his dad. Speaking of Devin Haney, him and... Mr. Ramirez is going to go next week. Does Ramirez have a chance?
Yeah, we'll have to see what Haney has left. They're both kind of... Ramirez is on the slide.
What do you mean? Haney's undefeated. You didn't know that? Yeah. Haney's undefeated.
I mean, in fair fights, he's undefeated.
Oh! Okay, you really think that those chemicals, whatever he had, was enough to propel him to victory?
I think
I thought the size advantage was it.
3.5 pounds, I think.
Yeah, but you're getting mad for this, and I can't believe that Barry on boxing, Barry Rabbits, of course, the British heir, the boxing expert that he is. But I don't have. Here's what's up. I made weight, okay, and I remember there was a couple times. There was one fight when I said, "F it, I'm not gonna. I don't feel like going down to 140." They wanted me. The junior welterweight limit was 139 back then. Okay, so they wanted me to come down to 140. They were gonna give me 1 pound. I said, "Screw it, this and that." I came in 144 pounds, right? And they screamed about it. What could they do? They wanted the main event. They're gonna have it. You know what I'm saying? So I fought and I beat the guy. But I think a lot of it had.
How tough would that last pound have been to get off?
I didn't want to take it. And it was 4 pounds. I wasn't taking off 4 pounds at all.
Because Garcia is. Yeah, I think it's 3.5 pounds, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 3.5 pounds.
Half
but here's what. But he paid the fines for it. And Devin Haney was a sucker enough. instead of Haney saying, go take off the weight, he told him, okay, I'll take some weight.
That's Haney's team's fault.
Devin Haney and those guys thought that Ryan Garcia was out of his mind, didn't they? They thought he was like nuts.
Yeah.
He is nuts, but they thought he was nuttier than nuts.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a big mistake because Barboza Jr. was actually there on the undercard ready to fight to step in. So I think Haney should have done that.
Devin Haney, of course, is the undefeated lad now out of San Francisco, California, by way of Oakland. Doesn't want to cop to San Francisco. Have you ever seen him with a chick?
I haven't. No, I haven't seen much of him.
Is that a coincidence?
Really. What's that, sir?
Is that a coincidence?
I have no idea.
Let's go to a break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Questioning Devin Haney's macho-ness? Not really. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hello, Salt Lake City. I'll get to that after break. Well, Salt Lake City is in the house. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k?
Today, we urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The hat is in the house. We'll talk about Bert the Hat Sugar, of course, formerly of Ring Magazine, Boxing Digest. What rag haven't you written for?
Well, now that you call them rags, I had Boxing Illustrated, Fight Game. I'll write on bathroom walls and lipstick. You know that, Pedro. Women's rooms are two hands.
The most famous boxing writer of our time, no question about that, Bert. I know you're working on several books right now. What's up?
Well, I have a new book out, Bert Sugar on Boxing, which has an alternate title, The Best of Bert Sugar, The Worst of Bert Sugar, What the Hell's the Difference? I'm redoing my 100 Greatest Boxers, re-evaluating them, new boxers in there, and doing the Boxing Encyclopedia, the complete compendium. Other than that, I'm writing two baseball books.
Speaking of baseball, are the Yankees going to do it this year?
Well, they'll probably win the American League pennant, but I just don't like them against the Cardinals if it matches up that way.
Cardinals look like the best team in baseball right now.
Easily. Easily. Not, and now with Larry Walker.
All right, we'll switch from baseball back to boxing. Who's the best fighter in boxing?
Today?
You today.
I still say, if we just watched a fight, and you and I did, and Diego Corrales did what he did to Freitas, Floyd Mayweather Jr., look what he did to Corrales.
True, different time, different era, different situation.
Still the best today.
You're the best today.
Pedro, you've always, unfortunately, been a friend, and you are blind, but I thank you for your compliment.
I love him, man. This is the hat, Bert Sugar. You know, when I listened to him and Diego, I listened to these for the first time yesterday. I started crying. I kid you, I got my eyes got a little wet here, especially over the Bert Sugar thing. I mean, Bert was cool with me. We did something called the Sports Bar Television Network. It was like once a month we did it from the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. That was when the mob was still involved in Vegas. Anyway, Lou Falcigno was a promoter. But we did this sports bar series. It was like just went to sports bars around the country. Me and Bert did that. Of course, we did that for about a year and a half. Of course, then we did the Tommy Morrison Razor Ruddock fight. As I told you, he left for an hour and a half. When he came back, he was drunk as a skunk. More power to him. I miss him. Of course, Diego Corrales.
The CT, there was no doubt in my mind that he suffered from chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Whether they autopsied him after the fight or after that car accident, that motorcycle accident or not, where he died in 2009, whether they autopsied him or not. But the bottom line is I really felt that he had chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It was very ugly. Straight up, let's talk boxing. Of course, this Friday night in Times Square, Ryan Garcia meets Raleigh Romero in what appears to be a mismatch in both size and talent. The onlyest thing Raleigh can do better than Ryan is talk street jive. Am I right?
Oh, for sure. I think he talks more of that better that way than anyone else in boxing at the moment.
Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, and Ryan will look like a monster next to Raleigh. Ryan is favored 10-1. Is that about right?
No, I think it's closer than that. Because I think Ryan's overrated, to be honest, and Raleigh can punch a little. But you got to make Garcia the favorite.
Okay. The co-feature brings back Devin Haney, perhaps buddies with the Sheik, meaning I've never seen him with a chick. Bill Haney's boy and Jose Ramirez will be boring unless Ramirez can take Haney into the trenches and abuse him. By the way, anybody out there listening, if you run into my friends Devin Haney, who is a 12-1 favorite of Ramirez, if you run into Devin and his father Bill, please do it with a truck.
You're not a fan. You're not a fan.
What do you think?
What weight is that fight?
Evidently, I thought it was 140. They're saying 147. Are we doing a fight in between?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I think that will suit Ramirez better, to be honest with you.
Okay. Also on the bill, until he lost to unheralded George Campbell. Well, how do you see that fight? Is Devin Haney going to win or not?
I would make him favorite, but yeah, I'm not too sure what Devin Haney we're going to get after the last one.
What does Devin Haney bring to the dance? Why is it I don't like him at all? I mean, but what does he bring to the dance? He can't punch, right?
Yeah, you can't.
And he can't take a punch really that well because he's been rattled a few times.
I mean, he went the distance with Garcia, and he took his punches. Because
Harvey Dock played a game in the seventh round there. Do you know what Bernard Hopkins said about that? About Harvey Dock's performance that night?
What was that?
He gave the brother the benefit of a doubt. He helped the brother out. He gave the brother a break. That's what he said.
He's bound to say that, isn't he? He's got Garcia in his stable.
Okay. That's good. I didn't know that's a good way to put it.
Hopkins will twist it any which way, won't he? He's a smart guy.
Bernard is smarter than he looks.
Yeah, definitely.
Without a doubt. I mean, he and I had some going. Did I tell you about the time he was cheap? I took him to dinner.
I heard he's cheap, actually. Yeah, no, but you didn't tell me.
We do the weigh-in for the Antoine Eccles fight. I think we're at the aforementioned Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas again, right?
Okay.
So it's me and Bernard are hanging out. So we do the weigh-in, this and that. So we go to eat afterwards. And he says, just go to the buffet. I said, buffet? I'd rather go to, like, doing a big restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like, make, you know. Anyway, let's go to the buffet. So we go to the buffet, and he gets this waitress running around. Now, you know in buffets you serve yourself.
Yeah.
But he gets this waitress running around back and forth, making him all these special mixes of soup and all kinds of crazy stuff, right? So at the end of the meal, after we're done, I say, it's time to tip her. And Bernard says, I don't tip. I said, whoa, what do you mean you don't tip? I said, yeah, I don't tip, man. He goes, she gets paid. She gets paid a salary. I said, no, she don't get. She gets paid pennies on the dollar. I said, these people make most of their money on tips, all right? And he goes, no, I ain't tipping her. So I left her $25, and Bernard's never been able to live that down. I mean, every time I see him, I tell him, hey, the big tipper.
Yeah, I heard him say he still collects coupons, actually, when he was champion.
He still collecting coupons?
I think so, yeah, whether he's joking or not.
What a cheapskate.
But back then, I guess he hadn't made the big bucks back then, had he? But still.
You know,
He's still got a tip.
I don't know. Anyway, bottom line is, if you see Haney and the Haneys, run into him for me. If you do run into the Haneys, do it with a truck and run over him. Do like Suge Knight. Run him over and then back over him. You know, Suge did that, right?
I do, yeah.
Hey, he scared me. He used to call me on the phone. I wouldn't pick up the phone.
Yeah.
One time I was looking at the answering machine, because, hey, Pedro, this is Suge. And I was almost shaking. I mean,
Yeah, probably best off steering clear of that fella.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a big lad.
He called me like half a dozen times.
Yeah.
He wanted to get into boxing with Zab Judy, who's managing him or something like that. Anyway, yeah. Haney's a 12-1 favorite of Ramirez. You think that's a little high?
Way too high. I'd say that's a kind of 60-40 fight.
Okay, also on the bill, pound-for-pound king until he lost to unheralded George Kambosos, Teofimo Lopez risked a WBA 140-pound crown against Arnold Barboza Jr. Before the Kambosos fight, we're looking for great things to come from Tio. And then he loses miserably to the nondescript Aussie. Betting wise, Tio is a 2.5-1 favorite at home or a -260 favorite.
Yeah, I think he should be favorite, but it depends which Tio turns up. I mean, the Tio that turned up against Taylor beats Barboza, but Barboza's solid. He's been around for a while. He's got a lot of experience now, too.
Teofimo Lopez is his father's a nut.
Yeah.
His father, he's a hindrance, isn't he? Doing blow. Yeah. I mean, the way, I mean, come on. He looked like he was doing cocaine in that corner. He's dancing around and singing salsa, and this guy's, and his son's losing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that was kind of bizarre. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he does him any favors, does he?
Tio, 2.5-1 favorite or a -260 favorite. Saturday, Canelo goes to Saudi Arabia to get some skull. I mean, William skull, not a BJ. Canelo's a 30-1 favorite.
Those odds are probably high as well, but yeah, I don't expect him to lose. But yeah, I think these odds are a little high on all of these fights.
Okay, 10-1 underdog Bruno Cerras is looking to go 2-1 over Tijuana cab driver Jaime Munguia. After the 2024 upset win, Cerras is either stupid or getting a lot of money because the boxing gods are not going to let him repeat. He's a 10-1 underdog.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know what Munguia's got left. I mean, he's had a good few fights now. And the way he went out in that last one, yeah, who knows?
He never was much.
No, I mean, they protected him for years.
He was
didn't
a Tijuana cab driver. He fought more Tijuana cab drivers than Julio Cesar Chavez ever dreamed of.
The French one's probably a little underrated as well. He's one of those crafty guys.
I was high on Martin Bacoli, the African heavyweight, until he got pimped and played by the galloping Sheik and took $800,000 to fly in and lose to Joseph Parker in 2 rounds. He's 5-1 over a guy named Efe Ajaba. I'm hoping Efe blasts him.
Yeah, probably not, though. He looked like he was going to be a menace at first, but he's kind of fizzled out a little bit, Efe.
Okay. 1 week from today, Sunday, May the 4th, Nino Inouye defends 122-pound crown of boxing. He is the king, bar none. Takes on 80-1 underdog Roman Cardenas. 80-1.
Wow. Well, that's probably be worth taking those odds, wouldn't it?
No, you ain't going to get it because you're only going to get like 21 on the other side, 20-1 on the other side. But listen, odds makers don't do what they used to do. In other words, if a guy was a 51 favorite, right, you got to be able to bet 45 on the other side.
Right, right.
And now, if you guys are 51 favorite, you get to maybe bet 19 or 20.
Yeah,
so the odds makers are screwing people. The bookmakers are screwing people because nobody knows.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody knows old school versus new school.
Yeah, those odds are kind of crazy, though, aren't they?
Well,
that
80.
I've not watched enough of Cardenas, but.
You know, Rolando Pascual was 101 underdog to Humberto Gonzalez when they fought for the WBC 108-pound title. Gonzalez was like 30-0 with like 28 knockouts. He was the pound-for-pound king of boxing, without a doubt, right? So he was a 101 favorite. And I went down to watch. Me and Jack Fisk flew down to Los Angeles to watch him at the Forum. I sat in the first row, and he quit like a dog. He quit. I could hear him barking. Roof, roof. I could still hear him bark. I kid you not. I'm talking about a 101 favorite. He just laid there on the canvas. So I got up there on the ring. I was standing on the ring in the Associated Press back when the days when the newspaper shot pictures, right?
You see
me screaming at him, motherfucker, get up!
Right, get up!
I couldn't believe it! 101 favorite, laid down against Rolando Pascual.
Yeah, that was a huge upset, wasn't it? Because I think they were building up the Carbajal fight at that point.
Yeah, and
they?
Of course the Carbajal fights happened a few fights later. And of course, the first fight he lost after hurting Carbajal. The second fight, I think he win the second fight?
He won the next two, but he danced away.
The second fight was at the LA Forum, right? It sucked really bad.
He played
really,
it safe.
Really
didn't
bad.
He?
And Carbajal, at that point in time, he was another guy that I think is going to suffer from CT. He's another guy that started to get a little weird, and he wasn't getting high or anything like that. So it was just weird. Boxing is unforgiving, man. The punishment you take is unforgiving.
Yeah, I'd say Eubank was suffering after yesterday. He looked pretty badly swollen, didn't
he?
That's
did.
Probably from the weight loss too.
He should probably hang it up. Straight hang it up. As far as hang up fighting middleweights, and take 6 months off.
Yeah. Oh, Ben or
Ben.
Yeah, I think Ben should. I think Eubank needs a break too, and probably go up to 168.
Well, with that broken jaw, he needs more than that. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. More with Barry Rabbis, the British boxing hero, right after the break. Are we having computer problems? I think we're having computer problems in the other room. Bottom line is you are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tell me when I can stop talking. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're done. Let's go to a break.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 5/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store single-line activation on qualifying plan. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
You know what's better than a limited time deal? An unlimited time deal. That's why the Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag with a Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, 4-piece Nugs, Junior Hot and Crispy Fries, and small soft drink is available all the time. Because the best time for fresh, never frozen beef and Applewood smoked bacon is all the time. Duh. I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. For the best deal of all time, gotta be Wendy's.
Unlimited time does not mean forever. U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, and California via third-party delivery. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Boxing fans, the time, 1 minute, 37 seconds of the fifth round. Referee Chris Jordan calls a halt to this contest. The winner by technical knockout for his 61st win in 63 pro bouts, on his way to another world title, Reverend George Foreman!
JB showing a little spring in his step, even after that pounding. We're going to send you up inside the ring right now with Pedro Fernandez and the victorious George Foreman, win number 61.
How do you feel, George?
Feel really good. It gets kind of boring after a while, all these guys get in the ring with you, and they ask for so much money, and all they do is run from you. That's a photo of what you're going to look for in the future, Mike Tyson running from George Foreman in the same fashion. I guarantee you, if Mike Tyson does not run from me in the same fashion, I'll eat my hat.
You'll eat your hat. Yeah. What about Tyrell Biggs? They talk about you fighting him and said there'll be an offer on the table for that fight.
Yeah, I think I like that fight. Tyrell Biggs, a wonderful fella. And in him, the people will get a chance to see another bigger man run. Okay. And all these fellas train to run. And it's a shame because people pay expensive tickets to see these fellas fight. And all they do is run.
So if we want to see a track meet, we'll go watch Carl Lewis.
That's right. I'm dissatisfied with these fellas fighting on television, running like jackrabbits. I want Mike Tyson, and I dare him. I tell him he better not run from me, because I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
You're good enough.
I mean it.
George, when will you fight again?
Huh?
When will you fight again?
I hope to be fighting again by the 1st of June.
We want Tyson! We want Tyson!
Well, the crowd yelling, we want Tyson.
Come on,
George wants Tyson.
Want Tyson.
Right now, I want you. Let's go back to you, LA ringside.
It's turning to bedlam here at the Moody Center as George Foreman pretty much putting it on the table. The crowd loving it.
April 1989, 3 weeks later, I quit the SF Police Department. I said, the hell with them. I can do national TV. Screw you guys. I remember what the guy told me, Sergeant Jesse Brown. He was the guy that brought me into the police department. He was also the guy I signed off with. You know, I went into the personnel division. I'm out of here, right? He goes, you got a year to come back. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing else you can do. You'll be back within a year. He goes, I give you 6 months, right? I never looked back. I never looked back. Of course, George Foreman passed away a few weeks ago. Can you rate all-time heavyweight champions? Is that really can you really do that as a boxing historian? Can you rate these guys or is that just dreams? Are we just dreaming?
I think you can because most of them fought each other, didn't they? The lineage went passed down the line, so you get some kind of idea of who, you know, the later guys, how they'd fare with the earlier guys, I think. But it's kind of tough going too far back.
You know what's funny is that when I did the I was doing a fight over in Richmond, California, George Foreman was there to be a guest. And I was interviewing him for a pay-per-view clip. I had a 3-minute pay-per-view clip that I was doing live to a satellite. They were doing some fight back east, okay? And I was doing this 3-minute thing. And I told George, I only got 3 minutes. And he said, you know, 3 minutes, so Hulk, we're gonna boost this Holyfield fight. I think it was May or April of 1991. They were going to fight Holyfield in Atlantic City.
Right.
So anyway, we're going to talk about boosting this. And Archie Moore was going to get 1 minute of the interview. It was going to be George Foreman for 2 minutes and then Archie Moore for 1 minute, right? So George Bogart's the interview. Really? Really? George stealing the play? So George goes 2 minutes and 35 seconds into the interview, and I didn't have time enough for Archie Moore, right? So I told Archie, I'm sorry, this and that. Archie Moore got in my face afterward. He was going to kick my ass.
Yeah.
He got in my face, man.
He probably needed some time to talk. He was a talker, Archie Moore, as well, wasn't he?
And then the other time, when I told Archie Moore I was at the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and I was with Bob Foster. Me and Bob Foster were tight from Albuquerque, New Mexico, light heavyweight champion, maybe one of the greatest light heavyweights of all time.
Great puncher.
Anyway, I said to him, he only lost to Ali and those big guys, Frazier and guys like that. Anyway, I said to him, I said, could you have beat Archie Moore? He goes, Archie Moore couldn't hit me in the ass with a ping pong paddle. He goes, no, let me rephrase that, a tennis racket.
I said,
really? He goes, go tell his ass that. So I went and told him.
I bet you did.
Oh, I couldn't wait. I went and told him. So I don't realize how serious Archie takes this. He starts taking off his rings. He puts them on the table. I'm still not tripping.
Was he in his 70s at that point?
Yeah, he's taking off his rings, and he took off his tie. And then I'm realizing cufflinks. I'm going to myself, man, I may have done something here, right? I go, Arch, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to kick his ass. I said, oh, no. I was just kidding.
I
didn't know what I was desperate. I didn't know what I was just kidding. Bottom line is, I wasn't kidding, of course. And Bob Foster, I thought, would have hit him. And Bob Foster, I thought, would have beat him. But the bottom line is, Archie Moore, almost 80 years old, was willing to go in the other room and fight. He was willing to fight me in 1991.
Right.
Okay, I mean, he came like 2 inches from nose to nose. Why didn't you interview me?
Right.
And I'm going, ah. You know, I'm saying the $500 ain't worth it.
Yeah, and that guy could punch until his very last day, I would say.
Yeah, especially up there.
Hold the record for knockouts.
Especially from a nose-to-nose perspective. I mean, when I'm standing that close to him, he's going to crack me, you know what I'm saying?
How tall was Archie? Like 6 foot, maybe?
About 5'9", 5'10". He wasn't very big.
Okay.
Wasn't very big. In fact, he was maybe a little bit bigger than me, but not very big. But bottom line is, I pissed him off that night, and he almost took my head off for it. Now, Canelo Alvarez is going to take on Terrence Crawford after this fight with Skull. It's the 81 or 100 or 1 or 1,000 one, doesn't matter what the odds were. William Skull's probably not going to win, right?
No, it's unlikely, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's the story in September? Does Terrence Crawford have a decent shot to beat Canelo Alvarez?
Yeah, I'd give him a shot, but it's just hard to tell because I don't know what he's going to look like fighting at that weight.
Doesn't have to fight. See, you don't get it.
You guys
don't get it. We don't have to fight at that weight.
Do you think he should come in as?
If we've got this, like, listen, had the guy last night had played it right, he'd have fought that 10-round fight, he'd have won. You have to call your shots. You have to know where your strengths are and your weaknesses are. And when you're going against bigger guys, obviously size is not working to your advantage.
What sort of weight do you think Crawford should come in at?
About 153 pounds, 154 pounds.
And Canelo being really, really.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the speed, but I don't think he'll put a dent in him. He didn't put a dent in Madrimov, really.
You know, I don't know if I sort of had the feeling that Crawford was playing a bit of a game as far as his last couple of fights were concerned. I think he's tried to look like less than what he really was in order to try to get the Canelo fight. I mean, he even accepted the Canelo fight under the weight game. In other words, you don't have to, no weight restrictions, nothing like that. You know? And of course, that's what Canelo tried to do with David Benavidez. When they were talking about a fight, he wanted to put a weight limit in there. And Benavidez said, fine.
Right.
And then Canelo still said no.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give it to Crawford as well. So for going up those two weights. I know he's getting paid a lot of money, but that's a pretty brave move.
He believes in himself. He does. He believes, and he's a fighter. You know what I'm saying?
Trouble is, though, he's been really inactive the last few years. He's only been fighting like once a year.
And he's old.
That age. Yeah, so.
How old is he? 36, 37?
I think he's up there, yeah.
He's getting old.
One fight a year for the last 3-4 years?
Yeah, and I'm all down with the inactivity. I understand that kind of good stuff. I mean, I think that the odds are going to be against him, but I think there is ever a guy that could exploit the inabilities or the shortcomings of Canelo Alvarez as a boxer, it could be Terence Crawford.
Maybe, because I think he's probably going to look pretty good, a good size against Canelo, because he's probably a little taller, but he's got a small frame, Crawford and okay. Canelo.
Joseph Parker beat the aforementioned Martin Bacoli a couple of weeks ago on that fight down there in Saudi Arabia. In fact, you know, she like put that fight card together at the last minute when fights fell out. Don't you think when fights fall out, you just let them fall out?
Yeah, I mean, that obviously didn't work for Bacoli, did it? So,
oh, yeah, it worked for him. He got 800 grand.
He got paid, so.
And then he got the IBF to not, like, take away his sanction, take away his rating or something like that. Evidently, he's got something still going with him. Because you know what the IBF stands for, right?
I don't know.
The International Black Federation.
You did tell me before.
Yeah, he goes, Bob Lee started that organization because he told me the brothers, he didn't use that word, he used the N-word. He said, the N-word, those guys, we ain't getting the breaks with the WBC or the WBA, so I got to start my own.
Yeah. I mean, these organizations have been a joke all along, haven't they?
Really? Sanctioning mobs.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. It's gotten worse and worse.
You know, Suleiman, Senior Suleiman, Mauricio's father, Jose, he and I were tight, and then we had our differences, major, major, major differences, but we were tight over the years here and there, and I would call him at 3 o'clock in the morning if I thought something was crazy and this and that, you know. So I admired his father. The kid I don't admire at all. I think the kid's a bit of a schlep. He isn't as smart as his father, and he's willing to kiss anybody's ass for a buck.
Yeah, you could argue that, yeah. I mean,
how many interim champions can you have?
Yeah.
You know what interim means?
The WBA or even worse.
Ching, ching. Oh, the WBA? At one point in time, the Association of Boxing Commissions, I don't know what happened to those guys, but they were running the game of boxing for a few years in this country. Tim Lickowitz, I think, was the head of the ABC, the guy from Kentucky or something like Louisville, one of those athletic commissions down south. He said that if the WBA continued to have interim champions, he was going to strip them from their rankings in the box rec. That never happened.
No, should have done. But the WBA is the worst of the four.
Oleg Usyk and Daniel Dubois. Dubois a better fighter than he was the first time?
Yeah, I think mentally he's kind of gotten over some hump, hasn't he? But I think that's an interesting rematch for sure.
Why is it Oleg Usyk doesn't do it for me? Is he Russian, he's small, and he's light, and he doesn't punch?
Yeah, maybe he's not knocking guys out, maybe. Yeah. I think he's a great, great fighter. And I'm surprised how easily he's done it, heavyweight, really. Well, I still think the Fury fights were a lot closer than most people. But,
yeah, you did. You told me that. Both Fury fights were close. Of course, Fury has lost a step. Just be honest, he's lost a step, because if he was really himself, he'd go out there, he'd have dominated, he'd have clung this. I mean, he didn't impose his physical will.
No, I think you could have given him the fights, though. So, but no, being the bigger man and getting backed up quite a lot and almost dropped. So, yeah, but he's probably lost his step. The Wilder fights will have taken quite a lot.
Is there a pound for pound king of boxing right now, Barry Roberts?
I think, you know, he has been since the Manny Rodriguez fight. I think that was when he really took over for me. And I think he knocked Donaire out the first time as well. That body shot in the 11th.
You know, I think he's got a real good chance of beating him. Good chance. Huto Nakatani.
Yeah, and that guy's busy.
He's fighting a lot. He's got Rudy Hernandez in his corner. He's active. He can punch.
He's about to fight a unification fight as well.
He's going to fight the unification fight. But here's what's up. At 118, he can crack.
Yeah. No, he looks great. I think that'll be
When's the last time we had two Japanese fighters in the top 10 pound for pound?
Yeah, no.
Ever in history?
Possibly, yeah.
Never.
Yeah. I mean, they've had some really good fighters, but not two at the same time, yeah.
Fighting Harada, those guys were bums compared to Inoue and Nakatani.
About bum, but yeah.
Come on, man.
We haven't seen Nakatani against a top-level guy yet. He's beaten a lot of good fighters, but he even beat a couple of good fighters early in his career, actually. They've gone on to have good careers, but... But yeah, we'll see. I couldn't pick against Inoue.
Bruno Saras, he beat Jaime Munguia. I mentioned this again. He beat Jaime Munguia in 2024. It was a huge upset. He's going back to fight him again, and he's a 10-1 underdog. Yeah. Why is he? How can the guy that won be a 10-1 underdog?
Is he fighting him in Mexico again?
He's fighting him in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, he's fighting him? Yeah, that does seem crazy. because Munguia might be a little washed up and he might be a little better than he looks. He's one of those kind of cuties that can't really punch, although he knocked out Munguia. He's got very few knockouts on his record, does he?
You know, I spent some time with Munguia down in Tijuana when he was fighting on a local card down there, and I wasn't impressed with him when he was like 17-0, 18. I wasn't impressed with him at all. I just thought he was just another, he was a bigger than average Mexican. Because most Mexicans are 125, 130 pounds or smaller, you know what I'm saying? But this guy was a bigger than average Mexican. And I thought that, you know, maybe he had some abilities. But at the end of the day, I thought he had a lot of shortcomings.
Yeah, I mean, I think even his promoters probably realized that because they kept him on the back burner for a long time fighting average guys, didn't they? They could have put him up front a few years back, but I think they think they knew.
May the 10th, Emmanuel Navarrete, at one point in time when he beat Isaac Dogbo, I thought he was a real deal. I mean, 122 pounds. Now he's stepping up to 130 pounds for the WBO lightweight title against a guy named Charlie Suarez. You ever heard of Charlie?
I haven't actually, no.
Neither have I. So, you know what that means, right?
Yeah, he's probably not going to win. Navarrete looks a little washed up these days.
Navarrete, his peak was at 122.
Yeah.
That was a peak with Dogbo.
And I hear he doesn't train properly. He's really unorthodox.
He's a drinker.
He likes and Here's
what's up. These guys are, I don't get the boosting. I really don't get the boosting because it puts on weight for you. I mean, it's a hot, it is what it is.
It's
because I'm a weed smoker, folks. That's what it is. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one, the great Bailey Peck, has taken care of the computers today. In fact, we only had one glitch, and when he had the one glitch, you should see the look on the guy's face. It's like the world's coming to an end through the glass. Kid, you know. But I love him, and I admire him, and I respect him. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free
medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
Wow. Of course, that was Genaro Hernandez. Of course, El Chicanito. That was a few days. Take that back. That was a few months before he died. Of course, he died from cancer, and we spent some time with him 3 days before he died. In fact, when he was on the show the last time, he was talking like this, and you could just hear that the life was coming out of him as I speak. Of course, he lasted 72 hours after our phone conversation, and he said, you know, he thanked me in this and that, but Genaro was one of the nicest guys I ever saw in my life. He really was. You know, and he only lost two fights, Barry. He lost to Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya, and yet he's not in the Hall of Fame. Does he deserve the Hall of Fame, or am I just pushing him because he's a friend of mine?
I think he had a great career.
Yeah?
Yeah, he had two good runs as champion, didn't he? Beat Azuma Nelson. So, yeah, great fight. Yeah.
Okay. Back to the pound-for-pound king of boxing. Of course, talking about Noah Noir. He blasts through this guy next week without problem, right?
You would think so, yeah. I've not seen enough of Cardenas to really say, but I can't imagine that, yeah.
Okay, so him and Nakatani go next year?
Yeah, this is as good a fight as you can get.
Or this year?
Possibly this year.
Yeah, this would be I tried to get Tommy D to go over to Japan. I would love to go to Japan for that one.
Yeah, it'd be interesting for sure.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I've been to the fights in Japan at the Korakuen Hall, which is right next to the Tokyo Dome.
Right.
Boxing in Japan's a little unique. It's a little weird, but a little unique. And, of course, at the end of the day, they are avid boxing fans.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They are almost like the English.
Yeah. It's a lot quieter, though.
Yeah, but give the Brits props. Last night, they put on a good event. Everybody had a good time.
The atmosphere sounded
except
good.
For the fact that creepy guy was involved. Of course, I'm talking about the Sheik. The Gator guy.
Looking to dress.
Until next week, let me say goodbye to all my listeners out there. Barry, I thank you so much for your time each week. You know, we got when you come in here. We love you, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, likewise. Appreciate it.
The great Barry Rabbit on Sports Byline, the British boxing air. Until next week. Ring Talk Live Worldwide is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The executive producer for Sunday, even with the crazy computers, is my very good friend. I'm talking about Mr. Bailey Peck. May he have a great week. May you have a great week. Until next time, Ring Talk Live Worldwide is coming at you Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. on Sports Byline.